He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
Our gospel reading today comes from the beginning of Mark. Mark chapter 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of our Lord. Anyone notice anything odd about the way that Mark starts his gospel? Oh, if we look at Matthew and Luke, they begin with a genealogy. They begin with something leading up to Christ, talking about his birth. In the Gospel of John, John starts with this great cosmology of Christ, taking it all the way back into the heavens and how Jesus was the Word of God, and the Word of God was Christ, and the Word came down to dwell among men. And they set up these grand beginnings leading into Christ. And then later on, they get into John the Baptist and how John the Baptist came and prepared the way for Christ. And for Mark, we get none of that. We start off with John the Baptist. "There was one in the wilderness crying out, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord.'" Now, I have my ideas about why Mark did that. And they're based off something one of my professors in college said. One of my professors, when we would go over the Gospels, he would joke around about Mark. He said, "Now, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and I'm not a doctor." Well, he is a doctor. He's just not that type of doctor. He's not a medical doctor. And he would say, "So I can't really diagnose this, but I think Mark has ADHD. If you read the 16 short chapters of Mark, 40 times Mark says, 'immediately.' That's a whole lot. If you read straight through the book of Mark, it reads as if it took place in 3 days' times. Immediately Jesus did this, and then immediately he went and did this, and immediately afterwards this happened, and immediately this. And just a whole bunch of immediateness in the Gospel of Mark. If we add in the phrase, 'and then,' or 'just then,' or 'following after,' that adds another 25 times. So 65 times in the book of Mark, Mark is moving us constantly from place to place. Just boom, boom, boom. And it seems like Mark is so excited and in such a rush to get started that he forgot to talk about the before of Jesus, and he just gets right started into this is the start of Jesus' ministry. Because right after this passage we read, we see Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And so Mark is just diving right in. It's one of those times when it seems like he was so excited that he forgot some key pieces. I kind of know what that's like. Is this morning I was so excited to see that the road in front of me had been plowed pretty decent. I was like, "Oh, things are looking good. I'm excited." And so I got up, I got ready, I put the shovel in the back of my car because I thought I'd have to shovel the sidewalk out here, and I drove over to the church. And I was then realized that I forgot the communion bread, I forgot to buy grape juice to pick up, and I forgot that I was supposed to pick up Matt and Dan. I was just so excited to be here and start that I forgot everything I needed to be here. And thankfully, Mark had already, he completely sanded and calciumed or whatever people use the sidewalks out there, so I didn't have to. So I ran back home, got the communion bread, went to the store, picked up grape juice, and then picked up Matt and Dan. But it was just one of those things. I can now understand how Mark just skipped over all that. He was ready to get into it. Just like I was ready to be at church this morning, Mark is just ready to share the good news. Mark is ready to get into the gospel. And this excitement continues throughout, because like I said, he says immediately 40 times in a short book. In our Bible, it's only, what, I think maybe 10 pages, maybe 15 pages it takes up. But just over and over, we see the word immediately, and then Jesus did this, and then Jesus went and did this, and immediately this happened. It seems Mark was really excited to get into the gospel. He was really excited to tell the good news of what Jesus was doing as he was feeding the thousands, and as he was proclaiming release to the captives, and as he was healing the sick and giving sight to the blind. It seems that Mark was really excited. And so he starts us off with John the Baptist. He starts us off with, this is the beginning of Jesus Christ and his ministry. That there is one who comes out of the wilderness to proclaim, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And now instantly, I think Mark is trying to draw up a lot of connections for us. This week, I was talking with one of my friends, Danny. He's a pastor out in Michigan, about this idea of the wilderness that John comes out of. Now, if you looked at John, John's kind of an oddball. If John walked through the doors of these church, we might kind of look at him and be like, kind of dirty there. But he might fit in because John probably had a beard, probably had messy hair, and, you know. I like to joke around that John probably looked like me with camel fur instead of a sweater. And so we were talking about this idea of wilderness and how there's sometimes some hesitation when it comes to the idea of the wilderness. You know, the wilderness isn't necessarily a fun place to be. Oftentimes, it's an idea of chaos. About a year ago during Advent, I preached from Isaiah, I think it was 35, and it talked about this desert that was being turned into a garden, this desert that was being restored. And so we saw that the wilderness was this place of chaos, but it's also a place of preparation. We see right after this story, right after John announces the Christ and Christ is baptized, Christ instantly goes back into the wilderness. He goes there to be tempted and tried and to show the devil what is really important and why he's really come. And so John comes out of the wilderness, and in many ways, John is acting as an agent of the wilderness or of creation, saying how much it longs for the good news that Christ will bring. The agent of the wilderness, John the Baptist, comes out to see Christ. And then he goes back into the wilderness. He goes back with the idea of giving back the good news. He's almost this agent for creation, where creation is longing for Christ. And John meets his cousin, the Christ, and he goes back into the wilderness saying, the way has been prepared. There is now one who is walking the way, and that Jesus is the way. And again, going back to John's appearance, he looks a little odd. But Mark is instantly connecting us with Elijah, the prophet. You see, John dressed in very similar clothes to Elijah. He has a very similar story to Elijah. He is often called the new Elijah, or the Elijah of the New Testament. There's supposed to be this connection between the two. John was one that was dressed as a Nazarite, or one that had been purposely dedicated to God. His entire life was dedicated to serving God, and he did it in the wilderness, and he did it by living a certain way of life. If you recall the story of Samson, Samson was a Nazarite, and so a razor had never touched his head. So John would have had a crazy beard and crazy hair, probably getting blended in with the camel fur he was wearing. And so he was just this really simple man. And I think part of his simplicity adds into the story, because here he's saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We are to follow the one whose sandals I am unworthy to untie. And I think part of that is that following God and preparing the way for others to follow God is simple. Now, it's not easy, but it's simple. When I think of this, I kind of think of, you know, that game that has the little rubber ball and the string and the paddle that you're supposed to hit? You know how hard that is? It's not an easy thing to do, and I look like a fool when I try it. But it's simple. You just hit the ball. Following God and preparing the way is simple. It's not always easy, but it's simple. We love God, and we love neighbors. It's that simple. That's how we follow God and how we prepare the way for others to follow him as well. It's one of the reasons at my house I have an image of John the Baptist, and it's for that very reason, to remember that following God is simple. It's not always easy, but it's loving God and it's loving neighbors. Which at times when I think about it, that brings up the question, well, how did John love his neighbors? John lived in the wilderness. He lived apart from everybody. He dressed in camel's clothing and he ate wild locust and wild honey. Well, part of it is he's considered the inspiration for the desert fathers and the desert mothers who went out and they moved into the deserts and they moved away from people. And I think it was Antony, who's considered the founder of monasticism, I think it was him, if I recall correctly, that said, I moved into the desert so I could learn to be a better neighbor. He had to learn who he was and to see them from a further view so that he could go back and love them more. He had to be by himself to truly learn who he was and truly who God was, so that when he went back, he could be a better agent. And I think that's how something that John is doing when we're seeing that John is setting the way by loving God and loving neighbors. And so the second half of the title, and the change, I think Mark is showing a pretty stark change by the way that he opens his gospel. He's making the transition from Old Testament to the New Testament, from the law to Christ. We see that by, again, John the Baptist looking like Elijah, the Old Testament character. John is considered the last prophet because he was that where that line changed. We see he's the fulfillment of not only the Isaiah passage we read, but the last recorded prophecy that we have in the Old Testament comes from Malachi 4:5. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. It's believed that John was the fulfillment of that last prophecy. We've moved from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And again, as most of the New Testament does, Mark is showing a change of where the authority and where the power lies. You know, we spent forever in the book of Revelation and how John was constantly undermining the empire and was constantly going against it. And Mark does the exact same thing. He calls out Caesar and he calls out the way of the world. The very opening lines, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Gospel was, it meant the good news, and the good news often came from a battlefield. It was often an edict from the king or from the general saying, we have conquered, we have won, we have been victorious. And so part of it is Mark saying, this is the good news. Christ is victorious over all things. And then he ends it, that first verse, with the Son of God. And we mentioned this before, that for Caesar, one of his titles was Son of God. And Mark is saying, no, that's not accurate. There is only one true Son of God, and that is Jesus the Christ, the only begotten one from the Father. And so Mark is starting this off saying, this is good news. This is good news to people who need to hear the good news. Those who need to hear that the way of the world and the way of Caesar's isn't the way of God, but that there is a better way. And I'll end with this short note. The Greek for that opening verse is interesting, because both the word gospel and the word Jesus Christ is in the genitive. And for that, it means both of them are considered an object. But the question is, we don't know which one is the object of which subject. And so another way, so it could be either the gospel of Jesus Christ or the gospel about Jesus Christ, or it could be the gospel is Jesus Christ. A way to look at that is, you know, another way to understand it, if the words were Brent and son, it could mean either Brent is a son or the son of Brent. We would have to look at the rest of the context to decide. And so Mark, the rest of his context, leaves it up in the air. Is it the good news of Jesus Christ, or the good news is Jesus Christ? And I like to think that Mark means both. This story that I'm about to tell you, this is the good news of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ comes to bring. But I think he's also saying the good news is Jesus Christ. This that we have hoped for, this that we have longed for, this which gives meaning and value and restoration and peace and hope and joy and love is Jesus Christ. He is the good news. And so I think when we are preparing the way like John the Baptist did for others to come, we need to remember that Jesus is to be good news to them. That this person of Jesus Christ that we worship is good news for those out there. They need to hear something that is good and something that is restorative. Would you pray with me this morning? O Lord, who looked on us when we had fallen down into death and sin, and who resolved to redeem us by the advent of your only begotten Son, grant, we beg you, that those who confess in his glorious incarnation, that we may also be admitted into the fellowship of the divine Redeemer, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.